Friday. Welcome, friends, to the Ends. Another Saturday night, once a month. We get together, I get a few friends together from time to time, and we find a topic that we enjoy and talk some music and have a bit of banter. On the knobs tonight, we've got Simon, William, Todd. Welcome, Simon. Love your work. And with me tonight, I've got Wazza and Jibba, who are here with me because we're going to reminisce tonight. We're going to talk about a period of time in our lives that I look back with absolute fondness, and it's all about music, and it was about getting together, finding some topics or songs that we liked, and making some D's, making some CDs, drinking some beer, having some pizza, and basically taking the shit out of each other along the way, which is a lot of fun. Welcome, Wazza.
Lee, it's a pleasure to be here, mate.
Good to hear you from you. I love that voice. Jibba, you've been on before, mate. You know the work.
I have, thanks, Boyley.
Good to see you.
Nice to be back.
How does it feel? Like, it was 17 years ago. Can you believe that? July 2003. I just moved up to Auckland. Jibba, you just moved up around the same time. I knew Wazza was into his music. He'd released an album just before I came up to Auckland. I forget that. What was that one called with the spaceman on it?
All Dressed Up.
All Dressed Up. Right. Oh, I love that. We liked that.
I remember one of the company Christmas parties. We had a good chat about that.
We had a great chat. In fact, you signed the CD for me as a little fanboy in those days. And then we came together. And I wanted to do something like this for a long time. And to find you guys at a time that probably fitted our life and I guess everything else that was going on, we found a bit of time after work. We ended up in
York. Make it sound like a support network or something.
Well, there's quite a lot of support later, but we'll get there. There's some therapy needed as well. But the idea was to find a topic, and the first night that we had was our top 15 songs, and then we went through a whole list. We're going to go through some of them tonight. But I'm going to kick off, because it's my show, with the first song, as you'd expect. This is off an album that we created that was, I think, Wazza, it was yours. What was the, it was about?
Yeah, I can't remember who picked the theme, but I ended up doing one, I think it was called Garage, the New Rock and Roll. It was essentially early 2000s and the young, new, brash, sort of punkish bands that were giving the existing music scene a good kick in the ass.
There was no fluff. It was just guitar,
it was just
drums,
straight out
and bass.
Little, you know, trash rock and roll.
How awesome. Better could we not start tonight with The Hives then? And here it is. Hate to say I told you so. We'll be right back.
forgotten about that track, actually. Hey, one of the best.
That's not unusual, given you're so old now, Stephen. Probably.
Let's get into that. Being the youngest one here, that's not a conversation we should
go down. Starting so early.
I love it. Keep it going.
Hey, one of the best thing about our session was that we all had quite different tastes, and so everybody brought something different to the mix, and we always discovered something new, and there was a few bands we all loved. And so I'm going to play another Wazza one. It's not like it was a tribute night or anything.
I think it is. It's going to be pretty boring.
But a couple of bands that... couple of artists you introduced us to that I really love. So the first one was Sparkle Horse, which really loved this stuff. And the second one was Kings of Leon. Mm. And for ages we thought we were the only people in the world who knew who Kings of Leon were. And suddenly they became the world's biggest band. But loved that compilation you made for us.
And we were pretty cool, weren't we, when they came out. And of course we went and saw them live.
But they were big then. Everybody saw them live then, but... We were listening to them before anybody else.
Oh, we were. The excitement of that first album. Oh, was it Red Morning Light?
That first
track, it just...
It goes off, eh?
So I chose The Bucket.
Okay.
One of my favourites.
It's one of mine too. I think it's a great track, and here it is right now.
Yep, so around that time, as I recall, which would have been the early 2000s, 2002, 2003, that sort of thing.
Somewhere there,
You know, you had a lot of those international rock and roll acts, whether it's the Hives coming in, the White Stripes, the Strokes, that sort of thing. And, you know, obviously, Kings of Leon and that sort of thing. Yeah. But we also had a bit of a, you know, bit of a resurgence of Kiwi bands around that time. Bands like the Datsuns and the D4.
Yeah.
And I thought it was only fair that we sort of bring a really good Kiwi band song into this, if we're on this vein of things. I think I chose a D4 song.
You did.
A band I particularly loved live.
do you remember seeing them? And it was in a pool hall that I remember once on Queen Street.
I remember it well.
The ceiling was
a subterranean place.
Exactly. It was about 6 foot high, sweat was dropping off the ceiling, and it was one of
the
most.
It was as dingy and rock and roll as you can possibly get.
It was fantastic. So why don't we listen to the D4s, Get Loose? Take a breath, because that's three hard rock songs. That short, sharp, dirty, no fluff, no electronic shit. It is just guitar, drums and bass. And it's kind of what we needed at that time. I remember there's a whole lot of digital music coming out. And
boy bands, girl bands.
Oh, boy bands, yeah. What is that about?
Just awful.
Shouldn't be allowed. I mean, and musicals, shouldn't have those as well. They're terrible. I mean, why would you have a musical other than Grease? It's okay. Just so the listeners can get a bit more of an idea of some of the things that we did. We went down to Woz's garage band, or garage, where he'd set up a studio and he'd been playing around with a bit of music, and we would go there. I think it was on a Thursday night.
Yeah, grab, yeah, it was Thursday, wasn't it?
Grab some beers at New World, and we ordered the pizza, and we had our CDs in our hand. And I think for a start, we did it monthly, and we pulled that back a wee bit after the first three cracks that we had.
Take about 3 days to recover.
oh my goodness, the guys at ING, you know, our staff or our mates there, they could see what we're like on a Friday. We weren't much chop. But it started to get a little bit of a... people were always interested in what we were doing, and that's what I loved about it. There was the sense of interest, and it really, God, really reinvigorated the music for me. This is a time when I had not been listening to a lot of music, and I wanted to experience it but share it, and obviously move away from the middle of the road where you guys seem to think that I ended up at the beginning anyway.
That's a topic of conversation, isn't it? We always used to talk about your middle of the road.
Yeah, not we, I don't think.
Wasser and I.
There was only three of us.
There was only three, yeah.
So the majority, obviously.
And occasionally I think I agreed with you as well.
even the Pretenders wrote a song about you.
Oh, nice one. Oh, yeah, throwing a wee music track, why don't you? That's funny. Not. On that, though, there have been bands that we probably found and followed, like almost like disciples for a while, and Kings of Leon were one of them. This next track that I've chosen is Stereophonics, and this track is, I think it was on your first 15, was, or it was one of the very early ones, and it was very late at night, and I think we'd certainly had quite a lot of beer, the pizza had kicked in. And when you played this, it just sent a mellowness, and the song itself was, I just loved. And basically from that point on, I went back to Stereophonics, looked through all their tracks. They brought out a new album. that had their big hit Dakota, and Superman was on that as well. And then I think Jared and I don't know if you were there, Was, but we were there. We went and saw them play at the Power Station. Probably.
Oh, amazing, eh?
Wasn't that cool?
Just remember the floor shaking. For days, everywhere I walked, I felt like it was just moving.
It was good. Yeah, we were awesome, moving, probably. Yeah. But and yeah, we're right in front of the lead singer. God, I can't even think of his name. Short fella. But he had a leather jacket on. It was
Kelly
Jones. Is it? What's his name?
Kelly Jones.
Kelly Jones.
Yeah.
Thanks, Simon.
He's a Welsh lad.
He's Welsh, then. So we're going to play Maybe Tomorrow, Stereophonics. Fade it out then, or shall I stop it? Okay, we'll keep going. That's lovely, isn't it? It's just a classic song.
Hey, before we were talking about you know, the club and how it worked. But one of the things we didn't talk about was the topics.
Yes.
You know, so every month we took turns, if I remember correctly.
We did take
turns. We took turns to set a topic.
Yes.
And so that was the theme that you had to make your CD on. And we had a truckload of topics from...
Live CD.
We're skipping the live one, aren't we? We're not talking about that.
We, unfortunately, your one didn't.
That's a whole separate show, I believe.
We had, like, movie themes and we had influences and...
We chose producers. We did topics around influences.
Desert Island. We have 15 tracks you'd have on a Desert Island.
Did we?
We picked Islanders. A year each.
You did, and you picked 1975 from memory. Yeah.
I was 77, which I couldn't work out why.
No, were you I'm born not. Then or not?
No. I'd been born. I was like already at primary school by then. But one of the ones, I'm going to play one of my own tracks. So I did an influences one, and I did one for Kraftwerk. Because obviously, all the bands that I love, people like Depeche Mode, just, you know, they rave about Kraftwerk, and Bowie's a big fan. And so I'd heard of them, but I didn't really know much of them, and I was expecting probably some prehistoric electronic stuff, some stuff that was pretty simple, but it was pretty amazing, quite layered, it's quite emotional, really. You know, it's got...
emotional.
It is, you know, it's quite cool stuff.
Is it?
So I made a CD, which I still play in the car. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah, it's one of my favourites. So this is Trans-European Express.
Okay.
Trans Europe Express.
1975.
Somewhere around there.
So, I mean, that sound... amazing, given the technology that was around then at the time, right?
Mm. Oh, it just blows me away. It could have been recorded, now, probably.
Well, yeah. They certainly influenced a lot of bands that we love.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode, New Order, any synth bands, probably Gary Numan, you name it. I mean, anything that would have been up there.
And we saw them live as well. When was that?
We did. Goodness, that would have been in the 2000s sometime, and it was at the Town Hall. And I wasn't expecting much, but it was actually a very, very bloody good night, actually.
Yeah. So it was cool. They all stood at the front with their synthesizers.
They did. There wasn't a lot of...
many a live show since then.
it's not music you boogie to, though, is it?
No.
Just watch and stare as they move their fingers on the keyboards. But we saw a piece of history, I think, pretty cool.
Given the lead singer's passed away, we were lucky to...
Yeah, you're quite right in talking about that. I mean, we saw Prince before he passed away as well.
Yeah, about a month before he passed away.
Yeah, that was good. So that was good. So we had a lot of concerts that we went to during this music period. Was this next artist that you've got up coming up now is, again, one of those artists that we really took a shine to. Who was that?
That we certainly did. A gentleman by the name of Ryan Adams. But just before we move on to him, I'll just reference back to Steve's track there. That was 1975, and one of the things that I really enjoyed with this club was just the diversity of music that the three of us and our individual tastes brought in. And if you look at that particular year, you've got an electronica track like that, which has obviously heavily influenced a number of people in the future. And we were just talking off air before, that same year you had some of the big established rock acts still doing, Led Zeppelin had put out Custard Pie or Physical Graffiti. You had, I think you had Alice Cooper doing, great songs like School's Out.
Yeah.
You just had the punk movement coming through, with the Ramones doing Blitzkrieg Bop. At the same time, I think the Eagles were doing,
Before Hello.
Peaceful, Easy Feeling or something like that. And then you get this in the middle of it all. There was some really diverse stuff going on. And it was, that's one of the highlights that I sort of was reminded of when we went back on some of those little journeys.
Well, it's a good point that you make. And if I remember rightly, at that time, you'd done a lot of music, but then you kind of pulled back from it a wee bit. And I always felt, and we talked about this, that it kind of regenerated your love of music as we went through some of these years, particularly some of those songs. And I remember when you started getting those creative juices going again around the songwriting and some of the stuff that you were doing. Reparation, a track that both Jira and I loved when you brought that song out. It felt to me that we played some small part to get you back into
No doubt there was an enthusiasm I got back. I mean, any songwriter, which is where my passion sits, will tell you they'll go through stale periods.
Yeah.
And, I'd done, I think, three albums in sort of succession, every 18 months, 2 years, and just hit a dark spot and I just wasn't really creating anything. And, playing around with you guys for 4 or 5 years was just fantastic. And I came out of that and I've been on another absolute roller coaster ride of another three albums since then.
Mate,
it's great.
It didn't inspire us to write anything or perform
anything. No, it didn't, but you're quite right. Thank goodness, probably.
Because we drank more than needed.
We drank a lot.
I doubt it.
But one of the things that it did do for me was, at some stage, get ahead and have the confidence to start writing about music, which I'd always talked about during these sessions. I was always terrified doing it, and then doing shows and reviewing shows, and with Radio 13, that was, it took me till 2017 to finally take up that challenge. But I do look back, and at that time did motivate me to think, well, shit, I think I know a little bit about music and I could probably write.
I can remember us having conversations, during these sessions about you having your own radio show. I was like, really?
That's
this
right.
Is just so new. You've got to be doing this.
Because we couldn't shut them out.
Well, we might as well make other people listen to it.
That's right. Yeah, that's...
But anyway, I think we're digressed slightly. We were on Ryan Adams. So, Steve had highlighted before, you know, one of the things that came out of the club we were in is obviously we, you know, we had our own diverse interests, but we suddenly found artists that we absolutely, all three of us, fell in love with, and we ended up going to see a lot of them live. You know, really went through their album, you know, two or three albums over the period we were together, and just, well, one of those artists was Ryan Adams. Yep. There's no doubt about it. He's he's so prolific. He was like a Bob Dylan of his era.
He was.
And I remember one year, didn't he put out a double album and two single albums in 1 year? I mean, the guy was unreal.
He was prolific. And he was doing work with the Cardinals as well.
Yeah.
And that's when we saw him first in Takapuna. It was probably the most disappointing Ryan Adams show of all time. He was a grumpy bugger then.
That was the Brian Adams comment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Summer, that got him pissed off.
Summer of 69. I think he gets it every show, but he wasn't
got
very
really
happy.
Pissed off.
And the, but then we had a couple of magical ones. I remember taking my son James to see him at... in the town hall, and he was in the happy mood, and he never plays this song very often, but he finished with this track at that live concert. And you and I was a saw him when he had a guitar and a piano, and that was probably one of the best
shows I've ever seen.
We saw him at Power Station one time, so actually more than once.
At the town hall. Yeah. And, I mean, so he did some great shows. Yeah. He's been out here quite regularly.
I think we've seen him five or six times.
Yeah. Just so we keep things a little bit spicy here, instead of, you know, picking a track from one of his, I don't know, 15 or 20 albums, we're going to pick a cover.
we're really pushing the envelope here.
Celebrate him as
just
a songwriter.
Just to sort of F with you a little.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Because we did actually do a topic 1 month called Acoustic Covers, where we wanted to explore someone else doing an acoustic cover of obviously someone else's song, and of, you know, throwing the boat out and doing something a little bit different, a little bit scary on it. And he's obviously done a very famous song by Oasis called Wonderwall.
Today's gonna be the day that they're gonna give it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe in anybody that feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat dude is on the street, that the fire in your heart is out. And I'm sure you've heard it all before, you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. In all the roads we have to walk winding, and all the lights that lead the way are blind. There are many things that I'd like to say to you, but I don't know how. I said maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me.
it kind of works for me. That track just for me, it just sends a wee shiver down the spine, doesn't it?
Every time you hear it.
Yes. Very, very, very cool. One of the other topics that we did during the course of those years, we would do best of it each year as well. We had a pool party around at Stephen's place. I think there was one time he wanted a toga party, but I wasn't that keen. From memory, you wanted some pillars as well.
Yeah, I think Stephen still turned up in a toga.
Yeah, well, he ended up throwing the Greek pillars on the pool. No, we had to move.
Yeah, the neighbours weren't very happy about that one, especially when we're going down the slide as well at the same time. But again, another topic that we did was we chose producers, and from memory, Wazza, you did Mitchell Froom,
yeah.
I did Brian Eno, and the song that I chose is one that William Orbit did for Finlay Quay called Dice. And again, I think it was one of those earlier sessions that we had. I remember getting quite excited around building up these CDs, and you guys did it incredibly well compared to me. A producer can create a sound for a band, for a range of bands. And Brian Eno, when I looked at what I did, he was more of an engineer rather than a producer in a lot of cases. So his signature wasn't over a lot of the same bands, but William Orbit, when he did this for Finlay Quay, it was his song, really, and Finlay just made Dice what I think is still one of my favourite all-time tracks of all time, and that's a big list. But
he was hot at the time. He'd done a whole lot of stuff. He'd, was it the All Saints? He did Sure Shores, and he'd done some Madonna tracks that were big hits at the time, and he was the hot producer at the time. But his sound, you know, is really, as soon as you hear it,
really,
you know, that's
commercial
sound.
Pop sound. Oh, you know, there was nothing fringy about this guy. He was full on. He loved him for it.
He threw the kitchen sink and everything, didn't he? At the time, I mean, he had layers, he had depth, and he had, yeah, kind of a. Anyway, this song originally there was one that he did. Finlay Quay did the song without William Orbit, and then there's a William Orbit version.
Yeah,
and this is what we're going to play now. he threw a few, and this one landed very well.
Double sixes, I
double
think.
Six. Away you go. Well, anyway.
Yeah. Can we talk about your music for a bit?
Could we? Because it's my show.
Yeah, because you always remind us that it's your show. Yeah. So we should really talk about your taste of music.
Well, it depends how you're going to talk about it, but I'll let you go. Well, you can always edit it later.
Let me tell you what the end is first. You made one really good CD.
Did I?
And I'm going to play a track from it.
Out of the whole lot.
That's the end of the conversation.
Wow.
Over 5 years.
But God, at the beginning, we did
it was a blinder.
Shut up.
At the beginning, we did give you a bit of shit because there was a lot of middle of the road. The other stuff that there was a lot of was that Aussie pub rock stuff.
So, I love that.
Oh, fuck, another album of Aussie pub rock.
What's wrong with the Angels and
Choir Boys?
Yeah, I love that.
Noise work.
Well, yeah.
But it did get better as we went along, and I think you were probably the most adventurous of all of us. So you went out and you tried some new stuff, came back, taught us lots of things. And one of the bands you introduced us to, you probably knew them, I didn't know them beforehand. It was the Dandy Warhols, and another one of those CDs, compilations that I play heaps and heaps. I've tried to listen to all their other albums, can't get into it. So the only Dandy Warhols I listen to is the CD you made. The peak of our 5 years for you was the Dandy Warhols. Yeah.
And just remind me, I think you went across, was it four albums at least?
Five.
And basic five, was it? And just did a greatest hits compilation. I agree with Steve. When you listen to the individual albums, there are highlights and bits and pieces, but it was the way you combined them together. It was an awesome, awesome greatest hits.
Yeah. We were about to vote him off, weren't we? And then he made that compilation CD and we let him come back.
How
and
could you vote me off when I started the group?
And we thought, sure, we'll keep him for another month.
Wow, that's like saying to Mick Jagger, sorry, you're out. You know, that's not on, is it?
Oh, sorry, Mick. You're out, mate.
We were going to do like a rebel club, the alternate club, and then the Dandy Warhols came, and it's like, well, fuck, we can't kick him off now.
Well, we buddy better play it then, shall we? Here we go, bit of Dandy.
Appropriately called We Used to Be Friends.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to be very friendly after this show, are we? Here we go.
Lately at all, if ever again, a greeting is sent to you.
all credit to Boily where it's due. That yeah, that Dandy Warhols was an awesome compilation.
Dandy good.
And look, one of the things that we did as well was try and challenge each other each month. There were some quite bizarre topics that we ended up coming with at various times, which may be the subject of another show one day. They were so bizarre. But
yeah, true.
I recall one of the ones where Stephen tried to set topics, or Stephen, or Jibber, as Jibber, we call him. Yeah. Jibs.
We might need to explain the Jibber at some point.
Well, I'm happy to do that.
Under the current environment, I'm not sure it's appropriate.
Okay.
I'll let you, Boily.
Well, no, I'll let you finish as well.
So anyway, he was obviously trying to sort of put both Boily and I well out of our comfort zones. Mm. And I recall the topic he gave me, being the rocker that I am, is the history of hip hop. And I went, "Oh, you."
It's the first time I saw you go really pale.
Which is something I knew absolutely nothing about.
True.
But it was a really good challenge. And that was one of those things that actually got you off on a little exploration of a whole lot of different things. So
what did you find?
Look, I found, I just did a little, you know, Google search, as you do at the time, of where you go, and you spend a lot. We used to spend a lot of time down at the library
going through
all sorts of things down. This is back in the day. And, look, it was just a great journey, and I thoroughly enjoyed the whole thing. And I'm going to pick a track from that, which was one of the early hip-hop influences, a guy that I personally really like called Tone Loke. And this is Wild Thing.
Let's do it.
Weekend comes, I go get live with the honey. Rolling down the street, I saw this girl when she was pumping. I winked my eyes, got into the ride, went to a club, was jumping. Introduced myself as low, she said, "You're a liar." I said, "I got it going on, baby doll, and I'm on fire." Took her to the hotel, she said, "You're the king." I said, "Be my queen, if you know what I mean, and let's do the wild thing." Some gear to buy. I saw this girl, she gon' rock my world, and I had to adjust my fly. She looked at me and smiled and said, "You have plans for the night?" I said, "Hopefully if things go well, I'll be with you tonight." So we journeyed to a house, one thing led to another. I get in the door, I go hit the floor, looked up and it was a mother. I didn't know what to say, I was hanging by a string. She said, "Hey you too, I was once like you and I like to do the wild thing." Wild thing, she loved to do the wild thing. Wild thing, wild thing. Please, baby, baby, please. Posse in effect, hanging out is always hype. And with me and the crew leaving shindig, I'm with a girl who's just my type. Saw this luscious little frame, I ain't lying, fella, she was fine. This sweet young Miss Cole gave me a kiss and I knew that she was mine. Took her to the limousine, still parked outside. I dipped the chauffeur when it was over and I gave her my own ride. Didn't get her off my dock, stay with her. I like static cling, but that's what happens when body starts slapping from doing the wild thing. Wild thing. Wild thing. She wanted to do the wild thing.
show at the local discotheque.
Talking about disco, we did have that. I thought we had that as a topic, or was it just me doing that?
I think you suggested it, and Stephen and I voted you out.
Yeah. I think from memory, when we did this track, we might have just... Have we listened to this one, Simon? Can you just pop this on for a moment? Because
on the back seat of a car!
Oh, yes.
You remember this one? I popped on a little bit of Strokin' by Clarence Clemons. And it's been, I've been just for years around this, haven't I? But I needed to pop this on just for you boys.
I talked about your music tastes and how they evolved. This is a good example of where they started and why we nearly voted you off.
Yep.
Anyway, that I'm glad that you didn't vote me off.
Well, we did, but
I didn't.
You came back anyway.
I didn't get the letter, did I? So we're getting right to the end of the show. It's been so cool having you guys here, reminiscing 17 years ago about how cool we were at the time, finding new bands, enjoying that music and what it did for us, and probably for our livers as well. It wasn't very good, but we've recovered from that. The last topic that we, well, it wasn't the last one, but the one that kind of created the most interest for a lot of us was, Stephen, you did something special for us. What was that?
Well, we're not going to talk about that.
Here we are. Come on.
You know, that's a bit X-rated. We're not going to talk about
the one where you had your clothes on.
Oh, that one. Oh, boring ass. Oh, we got near the end. Near the end, the topics got a bit complicated because we were running out of things to do, and sort of we've made it quite hard for ourselves, and yep. So we started coming up with these really bizarre themes, and
yep.
This is the one I think you want to talk about.
Well, I did, but I wanted you to talk more about the screenplay that
you
wrote.
Want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I started getting interested in was movie soundtracks.
Yep.
So I wrote this screenplay.
You did?
15 scenes. It was sort of like supposed to be a quick in a movie.
And Stephen, what was it called?
The Salty Taste of Revenge.
Right. So
it was pure Tarantino. It was fantastic, really.
Yeah, there were 15 scenes, and the objective of this one was that we had to play a song for each scene and something that would catch and create the event, right?
Yeah, and the main character had a different sort of mood in every scene, and so the idea was to capture the mood of the scene.
Well, I'm glad that we're finishing on the Salty Taste of Revenge. There's a little bit of blowback on that one, but I think overall it was a bloody great night. I chose this song because both Woz and I had it at the beginning and the end credits. So thanks so much for listening to Radio 13 and to Friends to the Ends. Love your work. Love you guys. Have a great night.
Cheers.
Out and touch me.